Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Mark Stover. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Theodore Mark Stover was born on March 18, 1952, and lived in the state of Washington. When he was 18 months old, his father died. As he was growing up, he used various names, like Ted, but eventually ended up going by his middle name, Mark. He was always a little mysterious and guarded. People found him difficult to get along with. Mark was described as arrogant, paranoid, antagonistic, and possessing a hard edge. He was expelled from high school and appeared to be on a destructive path, but then he obtained a German Shepherd, which gave meaning to his life. Inspired by this canine, Mark became a dog trainer and represented himself as a dog psychotherapist. He trained dogs for a number of celebrities, including Nancy Wilson from the band Heart. In 1991, Mark met a woman named Linda Opdyke, who came from a very wealthy family. The couple became romantically involved, and the next year, they opened a dog training and boarding facility. This business was on a private island that Linda's parents owned, called Kicket Island. This is near Laconer, Washington. In 2002, the couple married, but Linda soon grew tired of the relationship. She believed that Mark had an anger problem and said he was obsessed with money. For example, he would get upset over small purchases, like when Linda would buy an avocado. In September 2005, Linda moved out of the family house and into a guest house as Mark's anti-avocado-fueled mayhem continued. In April 2006, she told Mark she wanted a divorce. In December of that year, Linda purchased a house in Winthrop, Washington, which is 144 miles east of Laconer. In the spring of 2007, Linda threw away a framed wedding photograph and a wedding candle. Mark became very upset at her for throwing these items away. He appeared to be obsessed with getting the wedding photographs, but Linda explained to him that she did not have any more. In May 2007, Mark moved his dog training business to Anacortes, Washington, 13 miles north of Laconer. In August of that year, he drove to Linda's house in Winthrop and told her he could not let the marriage go. Mark was emotional and at one point placed a pistol on Linda's pillow. A few hours later, he calmed down and left her residence. After this, Mark repeatedly harassed Linda, demanding that she return the wedding photographs. But Linda continued to tell him she did not have them. Linda started having an affair with the best man from her wedding. This aggravated Mark, even though they were separated. On one occasion, when Linda was spending the night with her lover, Mark observed their activity covertly and reported the details to Linda. Mark's stalking behavior was worrisome to Linda. In November 2007, she contacted the police and reported that Mark kept entering her home without permission. She changed the locks on her house and installed a security system. On January 14, 2008, the divorce between Mark Stover and Linda Opdyke was finalized. 6 days later, Mark left Linda a voicemail indicating that she wrecked his life. On February 14, 2008, Mark left another voicemail saying, quote, "If I ever, for whatever means, find out that you are still in possession of those wedding things, I don't care if it is 5, 10, or 20 years from now, I'm coming to see you big time. You got your blank blank divorce, but I better not find out that you are in possession of those wedding pictures, or I will never forget this, and you know I am a guy that can hold a grudge until I am dead," unquote. In March 2008, Mark was arrested and charged with stalking and theft after he was spotted by Linda's neighbor removing garbage from containers that she had at the end of her driveway. A domestic violence protection order was put in place the next month. Eventually, Mark pleaded guilty. He took an Alford plea, so he maintained his innocence, but conceded that the state had enough evidence to convict him. Mark was sentenced to 2 years of probation and 1 year of anger management. As part of his plea, he surrendered all his firearms. Mark never contacted Linda again, and he became engaged to another woman. It appeared as though Mark had moved on with his life. In July 2008, Linda met a man named Michael Glenn Oakes at a Starbucks in Yakima, Washington. Michael worked for an internet service provider in sales and lived in Kennewick. He once had a business that provided consultation and tactical training. Mark claimed that he trained law enforcement, was an adjunct instructor for the military, and provided close-quarter combat training. Linda told Michael about the situation with Mark and asked him to evaluate the steps she had taken to protect herself. Michael looked over items related to the case, like the domestic violence protection order and transcripts of the disturbing voicemails. So he was familiar with Mark's obsession with the wedding photographs. In the spring of 2009, Linda and Michael became romantically involved. He spent much of his time at Linda's house. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, June's Journey. June's Journey is a free download mobile game that takes you on an epic adventure in a 1920s detective story. It contains a wide variety of colorful characters. June's Journey is a hidden object murder mystery game where the protagonist, June Parker, tries to figure out who murdered her sister. In the game, June's mansion and garden can be customized in many different ways as you continue to delve deeper into the mystery. June's Journey is a satisfying game in many ways, but what really stood out to me the most was the spectacular and stunning visual representations. The game allows a person to uncover hidden secrets and solving mysteries in an immersive, elegant, and beautiful world reminiscent of a bygone era. June's Journey also has a fascinating progression. You can master scenes, level up, get rewards, and collect resources and rare items. The game is perfect for anyone who loves adventure, mystery, and a good challenge. Download June's Journey for free by clicking the link in the description or by scanning the QR code. June's Journey is available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On October 28, 2009, Mark Stover was reported missing. Here is what the police found during the course of their investigation. One of Mark Stover's employees, Amber Baker, arrived at the dog training business at 8 a.m. that day. She assumed that Mark was in his house because his vehicles were there, but when she tried to enter the house, the door was locked. This was out of the ordinary. Mark never locked the door. After this, Amber left the dog training facility. At around 8:25 a.m., an employee named Stephanie Poor arrived at the facility. Amber was already gone by this point. Stephanie saw a man who she believed was Mark coming and going from Mark's house. He was carrying large items and putting them in the back of Mark's white Chevrolet station wagon. The man climbed into the station wagon and drove quickly down the driveway. He did not slow down or wave on his way out. After this, Stephanie approached Mark's house with the intent of using the bathroom. Before she even made it to the door, she could smell bleach. Later, the police found Mark Stover's blood in several places in the house. On this same day, sometime before noon, two women saw a white station wagon and a black SUV behind a building about a half mile from Mark's house. A man was moving a large roll of plastic from the station wagon to the SUV. The witnesses wrote down the license plate number of the black SUV as it pulled away and called 911. The police learned that the white station wagon was registered to Mark Stover and the black SUV was registered to Michael Oakes. At this point, they did not know that Mark Stover was missing. An officer spotted Michael's SUV at 12:30 p.m. and initiated a traffic stop. Michael explained that he had stopped at that building to use the phone. The officer warned him about trespassing, but did not detain him. On October 29, at 3:30 p.m., Mark's station wagon was found at the Northern Lights Casino, 3 miles from his house. At 7:40 p.m., the police paid a visit to Linda's house in Winthrop to speak to Michael Oakes. Michael was nervous. He ran to his SUV, grabbed a bag with a pistol in it, and threw it down an embankment. The police recovered the pistol. It was a Browning semi-automatic chambered in .22 long rifle. Michael Oakes was arrested and charged with second-degree murder, which was later upgraded to first-degree murder. As the investigation continued, more evidence was discovered that did not look too good for Michael. On October 28, At 2:38 a.m., he was captured on video surveillance at Linda's house, leaving. He arrived at a Walmart in Mount Vernon at 5:16 a.m. This is 16 miles from Mark's house. Michael purchased a backpack, camouflage pants, a camouflage sweatshirt, ankle weights, shin guards, and an anchor rope. As if this wasn't suspicious enough, the police learned that Mark's dog, Dingo, had been shot 3 times in the head with bullets that matched the Browning pistol that Mark threw down the embankment. Amazingly, she survived. Michael's trial started on September 27, 2010. He testified in his own defense and presented a colorful and elaborate tale to the jury. Here is what Michael told them. In May 2009, 5 months before Mark Stover disappeared, he approached Michael in the parking lot of a Costco store in Kennewick. Mark told him that he wanted Michael to get the wedding photographs from Linda. So Mark was still obsessed with these photographs. Again, this is all according to Michael. Michael looked for the photographs, but he couldn't find them. Over the next few months, Mark continued to demand the photographs from Michael and threatened to murder Michael's family if he did not retrieve them and hand them over. Later, the men arranged to meet on October 28, 2009, so Michael could hand over the photographs, the same ones he could not find. The plan was for Michael to park at a church parking lot near Mark's house and walk the rest of the way. It was about a quarter mile away. Michael knew that things might not go too well because Mark Stover was a dangerous man. Therefore, he bought a few items at Walmart before the meeting. Michael had an explanation for every suspicious item that he purchased. He bought the camouflage clothing because he thought that he may have to escape on foot from Mark and Mark's dogs. The anchor rope and the weights were to help him climb a nearby water tower. This was part of his escape plan. He would climb up this water tower. The weights were to hold the rope down. And the shin guards were a gift for a relative. So here he is preparing for a dangerous encounter with a stalker, and he thinks about what a relative may want as a gift. When Michael arrived at Mark's house, Mark was upset because Michael still didn't have those wedding photographs. Mark left for a moment and returned, holding a revolver. He shot Michael 1 time in the torso, but Michael was wearing a bullet-resistant vest, which stopped the bullet. Michael used his incredible hand-to-hand combat skills and took the revolver away from Mark. He then shot Mark with the weapon, so Mark was shot with his own gun. When Michael went outside, Mark's dog Dingo attacked him. Therefore, he used his own weapon, the Browning 22 caliber pistol, to shoot her in the head 3 times. Michael explained that he disposed of Mark's body because he did not think the police would believe his story. He dumped the body off a dock, but the police were unable to locate Mark's body when they searched that area. It appeared as though Michael was lying about a number of things, including the location of the body. On October 22, 2010, Michael Oakes was convicted of first-degree murder. 5 weeks later, he was sentenced to 26 years in prison, which was the maximum. Now moving to my analysis. Michael Oakes maintains his innocence, and, amazingly, he has quite a few supporters. They argue that he was acting in self-defense when he shot and killed Mark Stover. Therefore, he was not guilty of murder. The state, of course, disagrees. They argue that Michael's self-defense story is fantastical and obviously untrue. This brings me to the question, was Michael Oakes guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Mark Stover was a stalker at one time, but after he was convicted, he never contacted Linda again. Even Michael's defense had to concede this was true. Michael's story about Mark threatening him to get the wedding photographs doesn't make any sense at all and is clearly fabricated. If Michael could not find the photographs, why would the men plan to meet at Mark's house? Furthermore, why was Michael so afraid of Mark? Michael was supposed to be this tough guy warrior who has dozens of firearms, is an expert in hand-to-hand combat, and trains soldiers. Yet, he's frightened of Mark Stover, a man who called himself a dog psychotherapist. Supposedly, Michael let Mark terrorize him and run his life for several months, leading up to the killing. He never reported this to the police or told anyone what Mark was doing. It is reasonable to believe that Mark never contacted Michael. There were no threats. This was something that Michael fabricated. Michael bought suspicious items prior to the killing. The police never found the camouflage clothing, ankle weights, or anchor rope that Michael had purchased from Walmart. The reasons he supplied for these purchases would even make a Scooby-Doo villain laugh. There is no question that Michael killed Mark. He admitted that he did. His story about getting Mark's revolver away from him and shooting him with it is not believable for a few reasons, including no guns were found in Mark's house. So the only weapon that Mark had in his house was the revolver he used to shoot Michael. How convenient. After the killing, Michael met with his ex-wife Jennifer and told her that a job had gone bad and he was going to spend the rest of his life in prison if the police searched his SUV. Michael Oakes lied about where he disposed of Mark Stover's body. Perhaps he didn't want the body to be found because Mark had been killed with his .22 caliber pistol instead of Mark's revolver, like Michael had claimed. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. At one time, Mark Stover was a dangerous stalker, and he did have an obsession with the wedding photographs. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Michael Oakes is guilty of murder? Yes, he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. There's really almost no doubt at all. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Michael's romantic relationship with Linda was based on him protecting her from Mark Stover, even though Mark wasn't contacting Linda anymore. For some reason, which may never be known, Michael needed to believe that Mark continued to represent a threat. Maybe somebody led him to believe this? There is no way to know. Michael became convinced that he had to murder Mark. Believing himself to be a Rambo-like action hero with Navy SEAL-level skills, Michael planned the perfect murder. At least he thought he did. In reality, he made just about every mistake imaginable. Michael was concerned about Mark's dog, Dingo. This is why he bought the shin guards. The ankle weights were purchased in order to weigh down Mark's body in a nearby body of water. On the night of the murder, Michael parked near Mark's house and walked there. He shot Mark's dog with the .22 caliber pistol. When Mark opened his door to investigate the noise, Michael shot him to death with the same pistol. Michael's hope was to clean up the scene thoroughly, but he left plenty of evidence, including blood and spent .22 caliber cases. When Michael was spotted by the women when he was transferring Mark's body from the station wagon to the SUV, he realized he was in trouble. This is why he frantically explained to his ex-wife that he would go to prison for life if the police searched his SUV. Michael Oakes created a ridiculous story about self-defense based on the idea that Mark Stover used to be a stalker. None of Michael's story was true, yet there are people who still believe it to this day. Now moving to my final thoughts. In a strange way, the moral of the story is how some people can never outrun their worst moments. Mark Stover was a dangerous individual at one time, but he abandoned his evil ways. Unfortunately for him, he had already sowed the seeds of his own destruction. Michael Oakes was an incompetent and fake super soldier looking for some reason to put his poorly developed skills to the test. He didn't want to murder somebody who was completely innocent, but Mark's checkered past allowed Michael to feel comfortable transforming into an offender. He lied to himself to justify the killing, and now he is married to that lie for the rest of his life. Those are my thoughts on the case of Mark Stover. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.